All right, very good. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, well, that's a good start. And I just figured out why my internet blew up. I had a cable. The cable is one of the old Cat 5 cables here. It had lost its retainer, and it normally doesn't get jostled, but I did jostle it this morning, and then a couple of the hardwire computers became unglued, as they say. So I'm glad we solved that. Anyway, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs a technical net every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater. It's located in Alpine, New Jersey. Frequency is 146.955 megahertz. PL is 141.3. And we invite all radio amateurs with licenses that allow them privileges for the 2-meter amateur radio band in the United States to please participate. You need not be a member. And this net runs a little differently than other nets. We basically take a roster of those who are around. And then what does that mean? It means that you might have a question, you might have a comment, you might not have anything, and you might have both. You never know. So, it is very helpful, however, for us to know that you're out there because you are a resource for the net. You may not think so, but you are. Everybody has a role to play in this net, especially if we get a good question or two going. We might want to pass it around for various insights or extensions that might be of something that would appeal to you, even if you hadn't thought of it. Maybe someone else might think it would appeal to you. And that's why we want you to participate, even if you don't think you have a question or a comment. So, without further ado, let's get down to collecting who's here. You check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. And the subjects can be anything about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, technology of any sort, really, telecommunications, computers, things in our society to use those things. So, pretty broad. So go to town. Don't be shy. With that in mind, let's get down to business. Stations and call signs begin with the letter W. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
W1AU, Bill with a comment.
Good evening, Bill. And the other stations with W.
This is W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Oh, most excellent. Alrighty, we have two topics of interest. Good evening, Donald. And the others at Whiskey's. Okay, let's go to the kilos. Kilo twos, actually. Any kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Yankee Sierra Bravo. Rich with a question.
Okay, Rich, very fine. Good evening to you. Glad you have a question. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
K2BAR. This is KC2ZFM. Bob, nothing at the moment.
Okay, Bob, very good. Thank you for joining us. That's always good as well. Any other kilos?
KC2Z Romeo Golf checking in. The name is Rick. No questions or comments.
Good evening to you, Rick. Thank you for joining us. Any other kilos? Right, let's go on to alphas. Alrighty. November stations, this is called K2BAR. Okay, any stations, any call sign, please call KGBAR. Wow, we got way too efficient. We started on time, and I think inside of 6 minutes, ended up with all the formalities all squared away. Alrighty, let's go to our first comment, W1AU, KGBAR. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, all. The comment is on last week. We were talking about this candle and the various other things. The one element that was left out was the magic wand. I found a number of references on the internet, and it has to be a magic trick. I'm guessing it's just a big old coil underneath a table, and something's picking something up. I don't know exactly how, but it's certainly a trick since it runs a motor. W1AU.
You think there was something unseen that was placed into the game?
Absolutely. If it was just the steel, and you're counting on the Seebeck effect, like a thermocouple, you're talking millivolts, that's not going to fire off an LED, and it certainly is going to drive a motor. Something was done to trick the mind.
Yep, I would say so. I had this incredible urge to take two of my wife's very expensive candles and jam a couple of nails into it. I was going to start with galvanized nails. I was then going to go to galvanize the copper and try flipping a diode back and forth. But somebody told me that's a lot of voltage to overcome. And when it came to the motor, it's like, really? Really? But anyway, it is rather amazing, though, as to how that works. I've been trying to puzzle through that myself, but I noticed they didn't lift the candles.
That would be another way of doing it.
Yeah, you basically drill through the side of the candle, bring an electrode up through the table, and have the nail contact the probe coming up through the center of the candle, and now you have two voltage terminals and you're good to go, and the results are obvious at that point. Anybody else have any thoughts?
W2JEK.
Good, Don.
Yeah, one of the things that very similar to what you're talking about is a common electric toothbrush. The unit does not have any electrical connection physically to, you can see, it's a pole encased in plastic. The unit itself has a little motor there and it has a little battery inside, and you just press the button and it brushes your teeth. But then you set it in the charging base, which is also all plastic. And apparently there's an induction coil kind of an arrangement in there which charges the battery. So there are tricky things like that around. And you probably may even have one in your own home. Who knows? Back to that, W2JDK.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, but Apple has a number of patents that took that whole induction coil thing to a whole other level of charging. And the ones they didn't own, they bought in order to make sure they got what they needed. That's pretty cool. So you're absolutely right. You can certainly do an inductive charge. Couple of turns on one side and a bunch of turns on the other side. Step up the voltage and crank it into the battery. Away you go. Pretty cool. Anybody else? All right, Mr. Bill, you get to put the ribbons on that one.
Yeah, I just didn't realize that Apple had patented a candle. Wow. Amazing. Yep, that's all I have to say. W1AU.
Well, apparently, since you mentioned patent, I actually mentioned it too. I was reminded today that there is a patent for a thing called The Stick. And it has a U.S. patent number. I don't know what the patent number is, but it's called The Stick. And it is a device that you can throw to amuse your dog or whatever. And it will generally, after some training, bring it back to you, bring you back the stick. And it is a wooden dowel of a reasonable length, you know, within range, reasonable range. The owner chucks it, and it comes back to him, courtesy of the pet. And yes, apparently there is a U.S. patent number issued for the stick. I was all surprised to hear about this because of the, you know, not obvious clause, but apparently that's not considered obvious. So, anyway, you can only imagine. You can only imagine trying to collect on all your royalties. Good luck with that. Alrighty, we'll move this along. Let's see. Oh, I have a question. How did the portable day go last Saturday, and how did the tea hunt go on Sunday?
JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, there were 22 hams at the portable day, and I guess there was about six stations or so set up. I set up a thing with a QRP transmitter and a thing called a rock loop, which was a dud. And Nico, AA2NI, and Zuri, I don't forget his call, set up a station. Mitch, W2MSK, set up a station. Jim Joyce set up a station. Steve, WI2W had a station set up, and so did Marco, KC2's, I think it's ZFM, set up a station also. Oh, no, it's not KC2 ZFM, that's Bob, it's Marco, whatever it's called, it's something up in that end of the alphabet there with a Z, set up a 10-meter station, and some of them all had contacts, and except Nico didn't have. I think Nico had some kind of problem with his radio, and I was able to load this rock loop thing up on 15, 20, 30, and 40 meters, but I didn't make any contacts with it because it's not a very efficient antenna, and I don't think conditions were really good that time of the day. So that's the report on that. I was not on the fox hunt. I was not there. I don't know if anybody from here, I don't know who else was there, who might have been on that. Maybe somebody else can help out with that. Back to that, W2JK.
That sounds great. Was Jim Jackson there?
Yes, he was here.
But he just brought power, no radio?
I don't know what he did. I'm not sure just what he was doing.
Because I knew he was going, and I knew I just when he was going to bring his generator. Drive now borrowed for the weekend. But, okay. Interesting. Alrighty. Anybody else with comments or questions or experiences from Portable Day, either this past Sunday or Saturday or others?
To Jake.
Don.
Jim. Nobody had a generator. It was all battery stuff, and I think a couple of people might have had inverters with them, but I don't think anybody was using an inverter. I brought one along, but I don't think anybody used them. They make a lot of hash. For radio, you don't want to use them around the radio. But they're good if you have to light up a soldering iron or an electric drill or something. But other than that, nobody was using any kind of a power like that or a generator at all.
Very cool. Alright. We're good. How about anybody else with comments about portable operation in general?
W1AU.
Go ahead, Bill.
I have to just comment that I thought it was probably one of the nicest things that a club could do, to do something that wasn't contest oriented and let people make fools of themselves without being laughed at. And everybody tried different things, and everybody had successes in some areas and failures in others. I learned an awful lot, and I think everybody there did also. We could all improve one way or another, but being ready to put together a portable station in small amount of time is difficult. Nico got me. I mean, this guy's got way too much adrenaline. He decided to build a box for his Go radios on Friday night and finished it up at 6 in the morning on Saturday and still got it up there and working with a little bit of RF feedback, but still, he really amazes me.
Yeah. Nico has that. When I first built my box, I did exactly what you just described. And I had sized everything, thought it out, and just said one day, screw it, just went off and did it, boom, done. And even though I took it apart and redid it, I only redid it to remove some batteries and change out the transceiver I was using. But other than that, it's remained the same. So, yeah, I understand that. but Nico's really, really talented. Trick is to have all the pieces you want in place. You're ready to go. And, you know, a good junk box is a wonderful thing. I'll just say that. You know, those treasures that we call clutter in basements and garages and anywhere else we can stuff this stuff, that's pretty much what it's about. I think your point about, being able to do stuff without the pressure of a contest, during a contest there's a performance component, and even, dysfunctional radios can lead to some animus. So personally, I like doing what happened last Saturday. I wish I could have been there, but my son had a hockey tournament in Pennsylvania. But it's wonderful. I get to do that almost every month with the scouts. I'd say about 3/4 of the trips I take a portable box. I'll do that this weekend as well, which is a lot of fun. And I agree with Don's observation about the inverters. I'll be using a 100 ampere hour, 150 ampere hour steel lead acid battery, big one. Anybody else? Mr. Rose, you want to say anymore? Mr. Don, maybe?
No, I think next time, if I was to do it over again, I'd figure out a way of getting a dipole up on 40 meters, stick with a 40-meter band. I think that would have been the idea, like an NVIS-type antenna, not too low to the ground, but enough off the ground. I have an old CB antenna, 18 feet long, and I put a hook on the end of it, and I can use that to string a wire over a tree branch without having to play with a slingshot or a bow and arrow or throw my arm out and get bursitis, which I've done, and get that up over a tree and hang the other ends up somehow, above the ground, so that's like an inverted V in front of 50 ohm frame right to it, and away we go, and not have to worry about the inefficiencies of a small loop antenna. As attractive as the thing sounds, it just doesn't seem to do the trick. I'll leave that into the. I'll leave that one out in the garage next time I go portable. That's it. Back to that. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds marvelous. It really does. Okay. Well, getting the headset up is no big deal. You get 8 feet off the ground, that's plenty for an endless antenna. You don't even need the 12-foot pole or 18-foot pole. That's actually a little high for an endless antenna. Another thing you can do is, of course, the the ever popular air pressure launch method. That's always lots of fun. But, as you see fit, whatever works. Let's see. What time did everybody gather and what time did it break up?
I guess they started at 10 and I left at 2 and I guess there's still some people there, but most people were starting to take things down at that time.
So it was a nice leisurely morning outing. It's early afternoon to be home, do what you gotta do around the house. Go do stuff with the family for the rest of the day. Sounds great. Sounds like a really lovely outing. We should probably do that quarterly. And we should even think about how we would do it in the winter. Safely and comfortably. Would be open air. But we could provide a sheltered location where there are lots of trees outside and run cables inside. That might be fun too. I'll think about that. So I have a couple of ideas on that. That might be appropriate. Alrighty. Let's see. Mr. Don, you had a comment you wanted to make. W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. And yes, I'm commenting about the VE test session. I'll be running a test session on Saturday, May the 28th, which will be at our AmFest at 8 o'clock in the morning up at the Westwood Regional High School. And I also have one coming up on June 17th, which is a Friday at 7 o'clock at the high school. And one thing, anybody studying for general test, be advised that they are going to change the question pool as of July 1st. So what you're studying now will be obsolete as of July 1st. So if you can possibly be ready, buddy, get to one of these test sessions or somebody else's test session before the end of June so that you don't have to start studying all over again with a new set of questions. So that's my message. And again, I mentioned this, it will be the AmFest on Saturday the 28th. That will be starting in the morning, and my test session started 8 o'clock, and I won't take any entries after 10 o'clock. So that'll be in a time frame. Back to net, W2JK.
And to William.
I'll add you, Mr. Noel. Will you have questions or comments tonight?
Yeah, I just want to know if you're coming to coffee tomorrow.
Yes, I can do that.
Bring the package. And to William. Talk to you guys later, and to William.
30 okay or 9?
Nah, I had a rough week, that's all. Nothing serious. See you tomorrow.
Sorry, I didn't understand. What time?
No, I'm going to bed now because I'm tired. But we'll see you at coffee tomorrow whenever you get there.
Okay, I was asking what time you were going to be there.
Well, usually I'm there about 9:15, 9:30, but I'm going to try to get there 9:15 this time, just to be early for a change.
Yeah, that's fine. Alrighty, very good. We can do that 7-3-2-E-L, K2BAR. Alrighty, any comments for Don regarding the test session in a week?
KC2YFC, Rich.
Go ahead, Rich.
I'm planning on trying for extra on that day. Do we have to register ahead of time or just walk in?
And just to walk in, Rich, bring your current license and a copy of that current license and some kind of ID, photo ID, like a driver's license or a passport, two forms of non-photo ID if you don't have any photo ID, and the test fee is still $15, and we take walk-ins, so we'll be in the classroom 123 waiting for you. Back to that, W2JK.
Okie doke. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
KC2BAR from KC2ORX.
KC2ORX, good evening.
Yeah, just signaled from the Civil Air Patrol meeting in Mawa, so I'm just going to drive on home. Figured I'd say hello to you and Don and whoever else is on the air. Good evening to all, and I'm going to clear with you, KC2BAR. I'm going to drive on home, probably grab a bite to eat on my way home, but have a good evening, all. I will be clear. KC2ORX.
Okay. Very, very good, Robert. Okay. Mr. Rich, you had a question. KC2ISB, KC2AR.
Actually, I have two, and they're both looking for reference material. One is I was unable to attend the fox hunt, but I did was able to listen to it. Does anybody have a good web source or something like that to build fox antennas, fox hunting antennas? And the other is fortunate enough where I work is that there's five hams that all work in one department scattered all over the state, and we're interested in learning CW. Is there any good reference for really beginners to learn CW?
I haven't found a piece of software, but there must be one. One that teaches you words based on a simple vocabulary that you might know, but teaches you words at, let's say, 22 words a minute, and then spaces it out, or characters at 22 words a minute, and then spaces it out. I use RUFZ, which is not words, it's call signs. R-U-F-Z. But I gotta believe there's better ways to learn out there. The trick is to learn the sound of the fast letter once. He's learning a sound of a K at 5 words a minute, then learning it at 13, then learning it at 15, then learning it at 20, and then learning it at 25 is miserable. If you learn it around 22, you'll be a lot happier. It'll take a little while initially, but you'll be doing it once, and the sound will be in your head. You'll start word copying faster. That's the advice I've gotten from various people. I'm going to toss this to Don, and then anybody else who might have some thoughts after that. Don's pretty good about these matters. W2JEK, KC2AR.
Yeah, okay. What you're talking about, I think, is what they refer to as the Farnsworth. Where you start, you learn letters, but they're spaced out so that you're only getting 25 characters per minute, which is 5 words per minute. And but the sound that they're at the say the 5 word per minute rate for beginning, and then they speed it up and they space the letters closer together. But they can do that. The letters are not. But it's still the same, as you say, 15 words a minute or 22 words a minute, whoever they teach you. Now, there is a group called the NAQCC, and North American QRP CW Club, and they have some information on there for on their website for learning CW. What you do is... go to naqcc.info on the website, www.naqcc.info. I believe that's the proper way. And in there is this, they have a newsletter. And in the newsletter is one fellow writes a column on learning code, so that would be a source for you. Another source is go to a blog, W2LJ, Whiskey 2 Lima Juliet, on his blog, and he's got something about in there. Click on that, and you'll see something for Morse code, and you can click on that, and you get some good information also. Also, there's another group called FISTS, F-I-S-T-S, which is a Morse code group, and you click just pull that up on Google, and you... They all have ways of helping people learn the Morse code. With that, back to net, W2JK.
That was helpful. That was very helpful. Thank you, Don. Anybody else with some additions? message back to you.
Well, Don, thank you very much for that. I have that copied down. My second question was a resource for design ideas for fox hunting antennas. Does anybody know of a website or written material that would give good examples and easy to make homemade kits?
To JK. Yeah, this is a fellow. I brought to the last Barra meeting a device called a time difference of arrival unit. And that was one of several antennas and devices that this one fellow wrote about. Now, I'm going to have to get you his call sign, but I'll stand by. You go ahead with your... come back to me in a few minutes. I have to think this... my book of direction finding out here. I'll have it here, and I'll get that information for you. So I'll turn it back to Ned for a minute. This is W2JK.
Yeah, there's also things like measuring tape antennas, like 2-meter measuring tape antennas. That's pretty common. Others are, for HF, you use a loop antenna, you use a null method. And then the device, the time difference of arrival unit is used when the signal is so strong that you need to play basically a frequency offset game to get an image of the signal you're looking for, which is much weaker, and allow you to DF on that. That's pretty much what Don's talking about, among others. And there are a couple other ideas, too. But I believe the ARRL has a book on fox hunting or transmitter hunting. I forget what they call it, but I bet you if you look through their library online, you probably find a good book on the subject. Anybody else have any thoughts?
To JK Pack.
Go ahead, Don.
His fellow's name is Joe Leggio, L-E-G-G-I-O. His call sign is Whiskey Bravo 2, Hotel Oscar Lima. Whiskey Bravo 2, Hotel Oscar Lima. And he's written several articles on projects of... one I have here is the time difference of arrival unit, which uses some coat hanger wires for antennas, a 555 chip and a couple diodes and other parts to make an oscillator of an audio frequency thing. And as you turn this antenna to face directly to the station you're direction finding, you get a null in that in the sound. It imposes an audio frequency on the what the station is sending to you, and when you get this null, that gives you the direction. So that's a was a fairly simple thing to build. And I was demonstrating it at the Barra meeting last time. With that, back to net, W2JK.
Anybody else?
All right. Mr. Rich, how's that?
Excellent. I have that copied down, and hope to see you at the handset.
Yeah, I have a pretty crazed way of going about things like this. It's a lot of fun. I actually have a fox in a box, as I call it, and what do you call it? It's an ICOM 2AT, a fox on transmitter, and a sufficient for a bigger battery if I want. It works pretty well. Really, really works very well, actually. Alrighty. Any other stations for the net before we go to our next topic?
KB3 PQP Mobile.
Harry, KB3 PQP, K2BAR, how are you?
I'm very good, very, very good. Back to work. Keeping very busy. I heard Hamfest, and my ears lit up, and I was like,
I knew it was coming up soon. I guess I missed the box on time. Okay. I get the 4-1. But what day is it? Next week? Next Saturday? Say yes, please. Other than that, all is well.
Okie dokie. Yeah, it's a week from Saturday. It's Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. It's at Westwood High School in Washington Township.
Yeah, USL. Very good. I really wanted to demonstrate my Doppler antenna system to the folks. Maybe one day we could just set something up and you go hide your little box someplace and I'll go look for it. And everybody can follow me looking for it.
That might be fun, actually. All right. Well, very good. I'll check you into the net. Let's see. Are there any other stations for the net or anybody who's in the net who wants to add a question or comment to any subject or new subject? Well, you know, as Mr. Mendelson always likes to point out, it's an amazing club. We had a portable day on Saturday, Foxhounds on Sunday, coffee twice a week, a meeting. Yeah, it's really kind of amazing. You know, six nets in the week, I think it's six. 2 meters FYL on Monday, 10 meters on Monday. Chatnet on Wednesday, 440 net at 8:30 on Thursday, and this net at 9 on Thursday as well. It's a lot of nets. It's some good stuff. Anyway, I hope everybody makes themselves available for more of what we have to offer as a club. And of course, there's Tuesday Kit Night. Sorry I left that out. It's kind of off my radar a little bit because of a persistent schedule conflict. But for the times I've been able to attend that, that's a lot of fun as well. Anyway, let's see. One last go-round before we call it a day, I guess. This is K2BAR. Anybody? Alrighty. Well, I want to thank everybody. It's been a little brief tonight, but it was informative and it was interesting. Thank everybody for their participation, and look forward to working this weekend. I will be on HF and probably 6 meters, maybe 2 meters sideband from Seekert, where I will be at the State Police Campery down along the beach for the entire weekend. It'll be fun. So anyway, everybody, you take care. This is K2BAR, WU2TTT. Thank you, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club producer, the repeater. And looking forward to working with you guys again soon. This is K2BAR, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. Godspeed. Sorry, who was that? WU2.